With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dr. Alan Sills, the Chief Medical Officer of the National Football League. And Dr. Sills, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's great to be with you and actually be back in Baltimore. I spent over 11 years there doing all my medical school and training, so it feels like coming back home in a way.
Well, once you leave Charm City, you always come back, though, right? A little bit of it always stays with you.
No question, and there's no doubt that you can't get the same kind of crab cakes anywhere else. I got to say, there's a reason that that they're legendary there. Keep searching, but haven't found anything that comes close.
You know it, Doc.
Dr. Sills, how much are you paying attention? I guess baseball is the closest thing to football because the basketball and hockey are in the bubble, and I don't even know if that was even a possibility for you guys to do a bubble. But how much are you paying attention to what baseball is going through right now?
Well, we're paying very careful attention to all the sports leagues, and not only in North America but around the world. I mean, I think one of the positive things that we've seen through the pandemic is sort of unprecedented levels of collaboration and communication among all of our leagues. So yeah, I talk regularly each week with the medical staff and chief medical officers of all of our North American pro sports leagues, but I also communicate regularly with leagues around the world, like the Australian Football League and the Bundesliga and World Rugby. And so we're learning from each other. We're sharing with each other because we all have a common opponent here with this virus, and we all have a common objective, which is to try to operate as safely as we possibly can in the midst of this pandemic.
Well, Doc, obviously this Miami Marlins situation is not ideal for MLB. They had four positives on Sunday. That they played a game anyway. Now I think they're up to 18 cases, players and staff. And there's no way beforehand to plan for everything. But as you said, you are learning from what other leagues and teams are experiencing. Where are you guys sort of internally, and then I guess also in terms of discussions with the NFLPA about trying to figure out a number or a threshold where, hey, maybe if we hit X number of cases, we do need to shut that building down for a while, or we do need to think about having that team, you know, miss a game or some period of time?
Well, first of all, I would say we have had incredibly close collaboration with the NFL Players Association all throughout this process, going all the way back into March. We've been in regular communication. We established joint task forces together where we had groups of experts we brought together to inform both sides of this discussion. And so we've really worked hand in hand throughout this, and we'll continue to do so. And I think that one phrase that we've said throughout is that we're going to have to be flexible and adaptable. There's not a way that you can plan for every possible scenario in advance because they're all unique. We always say in medicine, when you've seen one case of something, you've seen one case of it, right? Even the same disease can look different in different patients. And so I think the same is applicable here. But what we do know is this. We've got a lot of data at our hands via what our teams are doing with their testing, their contact tracing. And we will work together with the NFL Players Association. We'll also work with infectious disease experts and population health experts and the public health authorities, including the CDC and others, to make the best decisions at every point along the way. And so we're prepared to make whatever adjustments we have to make to keep our players and our personnel and even our fans as safe as possible.
Dr. Alan Sills joining us, Chief Medical Officer of the National Football League. It's Inside Access here on a Wednesday. Doc, I've heard people say, and I think Dr. Fauci even said this a few months ago, that the football was potentially a perfect breeding ground for the virus and people up against each other for 3 hours a day and sweating. And how do you can't prevent it, obviously, but what can you do to mitigate those kind of things to make it safe so that guys can play football?
Well, we've said throughout this that it's obvious that football and physical distancing don't go together, right? We know those are not compatible. So we do have to get creative. And I think we've approached it from a number of ways as we thought about this. First and foremost, you'd like to try to make sure that everybody that gets on that field is not infected. And that's where you come into the realm of your screening and your testing programs. We're doing very frequent testing, as you know, with surveillance to try to quickly identify if someone's infected so that we can remove them from that environment, get them treated appropriately, and then protect and prevent against spread throughout the rest of the team. But the other thing, I think, is there are things we can do on the field. We're clearly doing a number of things differently in terms of how we treat our sidelines, how we space people out, the way that we clean equipment and so forth, how we who we have on the field, how many people have access. And then you've probably heard about these mouth shields, these extended shields that come down over the face mask to try to prevent some degree of aerosolization of those particles. So there are a lot of things we can do on the field. But let's also remember that 3-hour period on the field is a very small part of the overall week that the team spends together. So we have to also be even more focused around what are we doing in terms of training? What do we do at the facility? How do we lift weights? How do we meet? How do we do dining? How do we do travel? We've had to look really at every aspect of our operation, and we've had to really re-engineer and reimagine it through this lens of what can we do to mitigate risk. And so it's not only about what happens during those 3 hours on the field, but it's about everything that comes before and after that and trying to keep everyone safe throughout that journey.
We're talking to Dr. Alan Sills, Chief Medical Officer of the NFL here on Inside Access on 105.7 The Fan. And Doc, you guys are testing every day for a period of time. I think it's 2 weeks initially. As you start to be able to profile these teams and get the numbers in order, and then things would back off a little bit. Going back to the Marlins in that situation, I know now that team is back to daily testing. But the load, the number of people it takes to get through an NFL day is much higher than some of these other sports. If you guys had to go to a scenario where you went back to testing every day, can these labs handle that? If I'm thinking 150 to 200 people per team, 32 teams, trying to get those results every 24 hours, I guess the science, the labs, all that stuff is there if need be?
It is. We put a tremendous amount of effort and energy into preparing for doing just that. And as you mentioned, we are doing daily testing for the first couple of weeks of training camp. So we contracted with a private lab company. We did not ask our teams to go to hospitals or healthcare facilities in market because we didn't want them to in any way have a negative impact on what's happening inside those markets. And we also wanted to make sure that we weren't affecting the local test supply. So we've got a lab company that came in and set up brand new labs at the team facilities, set up new supply chains and new routes of processing those samples. So we are prepared to do that degree of testing if we need to. But we've also said at every step, we don't want to do anything that is harmful or in any way it takes away from the public health effort. And so part of our testing program has, again, been to regularly consult with public health officials, including the CDC, the White House Task Force, and others, talk to local and state officials, talk to population health experts and epidemiologists around the country, and keep asking them the question, do you feel like we're having a negative impact here? Because that's very important to us. At this time, we've received assurances from everyone that they don't see a negative impact on the nation's testing supply. So we will continue to monitor that, but those are the specific factors that drove us to set up the testing program in the way that we did.
Doctor, this might be a dumb question, but I'm curious, and maybe you don't know the answer to this, but, and there's so much misinformation out there with this virus, but a few months ago, there were all these reports that we were closer to these tests that would get results quicker, and here we are still, at least to the best of my knowledge, that the best they can do is 12 hours. Are we closer to getting a test that can get quicker results? Because sometimes if there's a 12-hour lag and also the incubation period, it's not an exact science.
Well, I do think we're closer. Where there's a tremendous amount of effort and energy and innovation that's going into test development, and so I think you'll see that continue to get better. You'll continue to see tests that are more accurate, that don't take as long to process, and that are more widely available. And those innovations will continue to occur. And we've said all along that we will be adopting those innovations as we see them come online, and we're convinced that they're an improvement over what we're doing. But I think it's also important to recognize one other thing. Testing is important, but it's not the only important factor here. And I've said repeatedly, we cannot test our way to safety. either as a football league or really as a nation. And what I mean by that is testing is not about preventing illness. It's about containing illness. It's identifying individuals and getting them quickly isolated. What prevents illness are things like wearing a mask and respecting physical distance and staying home when you're sick and staying away from sick people and washing your hands and staying away from large gatherings. All of those other factors are incredibly important for risk mitigation, and we know that they work. So, yes, testing is important, and yes, we want to see better tests that have a shorter turnaround time, but we'll never test our way to safety, and it's not appropriate to say, well, once we get better testing, we don't have to do all those other things. All of those other factors are incredibly important in terms of prevention, and we know that they work.
Doc, how much more difficult was this, and I will put it in the present tense, is this trying to navigate this when you have had for a lot of the last 4 months different states operating on completely sort of different protocols and wearing masks or not wearing masks, some almost completely open for business. Others here in Maryland, we were fairly shuttered for most of this period of time, open up for a little while, and then have backed off. I have to imagine that trying to sort of gauge where different teams in different cities under different regulations are didn't make this any easier.
Well, it has been a real challenge, and of course, part of our desire is to make sure that all of our teams are operating on a common set of goals and protocols and sort of a level playing ground when it comes to all of these factors. But again, we've worked incredibly closely with our local team medical staff. They've worked with local public health authorities and state public health authorities, and we've had ongoing conversations. We've shared with them our protocols. We've shared with them our infectious disease plans, and there's been a lot of really good conversation because, again, at the end of the day, we want to do what's right and what's helpful to the public health effort in each of these communities. And it is a changing landscape. Areas that have high transmission rates right now could be down in a few weeks, and some other area has popped up. So, again, back to our phrase of flexible and adaptable, this is something that we're going to have to deal with throughout the course of the season and throughout the course of this pandemic.
Doc, before we let you run, one quick two-parter. I just want to know what you thought of the numbers so far as the testing has begun, what's come in to this point. And then also I just wanted to make sure that I had heard that the disease emergency response plans for all 32 teams were now good to go, that you guys and the PA had signed off on all that. I just wanted to try to verify that as well.
Yeah, we have indeed. Both sides have approved that. So those infectious disease emergency response plans were basically every team took all of our protocols and translated them into how they would apply them at their facilities. And I have to tell you, it was an incredibly impressive effort, meaning that they spent a great deal of time, and there was a lot of innovation, a lot of creative ideas, and you really saw the energy and the focus that went into that. So I tip my hat to all of our team medical staff. They took on that assignment with gusto and came up with a lot of great ideas. And I think we and the Players Association both feel really good about the effort that's gone into that. We know this is going to be hard. Let's not kid ourselves. This is not easy. And we have to remain incredibly vigilant. We know that this virus, if anything we've learned, is that it's very unpredictable. So this is going to be tough. It's going to require all of us working together, and it's going to require us to adjust and adapt along the way. But at the end of it all, I think what gives me hope and optimism is ultimately – whatever's good for the NFL, our players, coaches, fans, that's also good for our communities. It's good for our nation. It's good for the world in our response. So, again, we have a common opponent here. This isn't about the Ravens playing against the Steelers or anything. This is all of us against COVID, and working together is going to be the best way to move forward.
Dr. Alan Sills, before we let you go, one final question. It has nothing to do with the virus. It's probably going to be the easiest question you've answered today. It's a debate Jason and I have. We ask every guest this question. Simple question. Are you a bar soap or body wash person?
Oh, bar soap all the way.
Yes, sir.
It's been a rough day for Team Body Wash.
I know it. Hey, Doc, thank you so much.
Yes,
I can't
great.
Imagine what the last 4 or 5 months have been like for you guys, and we appreciate all the effort to try to get this thing off the ground.
Well, thanks for having me. Appreciate what you guys do, and keep it real there in Charm City.
Always. So always, Doc. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.